All right, I think I'm back. I don't know what happened there. And here I was talking about listening to Dire Straits and Chad having to wait. I didn't really mean it, Chad. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. I like some Dire Straits. It's all good.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't know what happened there. I was hearing Dire Straits. Maybe I was just too engrossed in the music, but I was talking. So
I don't doubt that.
Thanks to everybody for hanging in there with us. Hey, you know, we've been talking all day about, you know, it's going to be a little cool this weekend, and then the weather is just going to kick in, and it's going to be in the 50s, even close to 60 or more over the foreseeable future. Open water is just going to start here faster than people know, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I live overlooking Horsetooth Reservoir, and it's been frozen and open and frozen and open, going back and forth. But what that tells me is the ice isn't just particularly, you know, very strong or very well set in. And I know that Boyd and some of the other places are also doing the same thing. And so I'm going to go in agreement with the earlier callers that it's going to ice out real quick, and we're going to have some great opportunities. And as you know, this is the time of year, a lot of times it's some of the biggest fish of the season are going to get caught is right after ice out. And I'm of the opinion that the biggest fish are the ones that move, or the most mature fish are the ones that make the seasonal changes first. They're the ones that lead the charge. And as the ice starts coming off here, both reservoir trout that were stocked in fall or even previous to that, and the walleyes are going to get real aggressive. And some of the first ones that are going to get caught are going to be really big ones. So you kind of got to have your ducks in a row, but it's one of my favorite times to eat fish, even though I don't even like the cold.
Yeah, well, you're former Florida boy, but you're learning. But you're absolutely right. Spring is one of the most, you know, big fish are available in spring. Spring and fall, you can catch big fish anytime, but they tend to be where we see the most big fish. Now for the walleyes, and we'll talk about those, it can be a big fish time, but it can also be a frustrating time because they turn on and off. The trout tend to be a little more reliable, don't you think?
Absolutely. The trout are more predictable. They're in a straight feeding cycle for the most part. And, you know, they'll bite most part of the day. They'll like a heavy sky like we have over Horsetooth right now. That will help you for sure. But they're more consistent, absolutely. And they'll also bite a wide variety of stuff, from finesse, you know, tactics all the way up to power fishing, because the trout are just giddy. The temperature, the water range is perfect for them. And so they're really happy about it. But the walleyes, like you said, can be a little bit more hit and miss, and that's because they're coming into a spawning phase, and so you'll get fish that are maybe just staged and not really moved up quite on the banks yet, but they will do so in the evening. So one of our favorite things to do is fish actually from the bank in the evening before we can launch boats and walk some of the rocky shorelines in, you know, right at dark, right as it gets good and dark out, and maybe for the first hour after dark, and work those rocky shorelines for walleyes. And it's a really good opportunity to catch some of the biggest walleyes in the system. You can count on them being in the same areas they were year in and year out. And so it's more predictable in that regard. Getting them to bite can be another trick. And for me, it's almost always, at this time of year in the nighttime, it's almost always a jerkbait deal.
Now, one of the things, people don't have to wait for the lake to be entirely ice-free for this, do they?
Absolutely not. I was going to go there, particularly with the trout. One of the best places to fish is the edge of the ice. Talk about overhanging cover. When you get edges of ice, that's a great place to fish. Or the other thing is fish will congregate to some of the first open water, particularly on windy days, because that water will oxygenate really well, and it'll stir up and it'll kind of wake up the whole food chain. So let's say you're going to go up to some place like the Delaney's or something. Well, when they're half frozen, some of the best fishing of the year will go down for sure.
Well, you know, and even on the Front Range, not only the big trout, but the fact that these lakes were stocked pretty heavily in the fall, thinking there'd be a lot of ice fishing pressure that, because of the sketchy ice, didn't develop. So they're also going to be restocked in the spring. So in addition to some of the very large holdover trout for the years we can see, there's going to be a lot of stock trout. So the trout can provide a lot of action. Let's start there. Let's just say the lake is just opening up. You can't get a boat on it yet. How do you go after the trout? What presentations do you like to use?
Well, all other things being equal, I'm going to the boat ramp to start off. And the reason being is that's where they're stocked in almost all the reservoirs around here. They back the truck down the boat ramp and dump them in the lake. Well, these rainbow trout coming out of a hatchery, and cutbows, they're spring spawners, and intuitively they will go back to where they were planted in the lake in the same way that a salmon will. So they're going to go back to where they came from and think they're going to spawn there, even though they're not actually going to spawn. They'll go through the motions, or they'll run to an inlet, one or the other. Those are the two things. So they're more predictable in their location. And I'm almost always, when it's real cold like this, I'm going to start, if at all possible, with something I can throw and wind on an even retrieve and see if I can get them to bite. And with me, that's probably, with the reservoir trout around here, it's probably going to be something like a small, like a number five flicker shad, which a lot of people don't think about, but that's a really good trout bait for some of the big ones. And if I can get them to chase a moving bait, that's going to be a really good deal. And in the event that they won't, then I'm going to go to, commonly for me, either a tube jig, like a 2.5-inch Berkeley power tube, or a little Johnson Marabou jig, like a beetle boot jig. Marabou has great qualities for attracting trout, and it's very easy to fish. They're very inexpensive, and they'll bite it sinking. They'll bite it retrieve. They'll bite it dragging on the bottom. So that can be a really good trick. But usually I'm going to go with a horizontal bait and a vertical bait, and my horizontal bait will be where my confidence is. And in cold water, it's hard to beat a flicker shad.
You know, one of the things I love, I've seen the ISO retrieve, you know, far enough, retreat far enough where I've got open water to fish, but I can still within casting range. And I'll take that vertical presentation. And you mentioned the ice being that edge of cover. I'll throw something like a small gulp minnow, a small tube, a small, even small gulp that comes in the jars on a small, even an ice fishing jig with a weight to get it out there. Throw it right out on that ice and then pull it off the ice and just let it slowly fall down. That can be a tremendous presentation.
Yeah, and there's a trick to that with the tube jig, too, is if you don't put the jig head all the way in the tube jig, if you put the jig head only like 3/4 of the way in and then poke it out the top and tie to it, when you throw it up on that ice and then you slack it out, give it a slack line, that thing will do a big spiral like size of a garbage can lid, and it'll actually spiral underneath that ice. And that's just a fantastic way to generate bites. That's why I like the tube jig, in fact, in this time of year, is because of that spiral drop. When you lift it, it planes off to one side or the other. Line twist can be an issue with that rig like that. So you can either put a small swivel above it, or you can just take some twist out of the line every, I don't know, 20 or 30 casts. But that's a great trick. It's throwing right on the edge of the ice. Also, another really good trick is where ice and riprap, because typically riprap will get warm and the ice will pull back away from the riprap a little bit, that broken rock, and running a lure horizontally down that edge. I mean, there might only be a couple of feet of open water, but we made that one work up at Hattie one time where it was just a little bit of open water just retrieving down that stripe parallel with the riprap, and you couldn't keep them off.
Now, I want to move on to walleyes, but I want to make a comment. If you're catching these trout up and down the Front Range, the mountains could be different. But a lot of these fish are stocked. Some of the great big ones you might want to let go, but a lot of the ones that are in that 8 to 14-inch range, you want to take those home and cook them. That's part of the experience. And Chad did a segment, I believe, a couple weeks ago where he gave some great tips on how to cook that. So you might want to go to thefan.com and listen to that podcast, where they can probably find something on your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, sure. There's several different videos on cooking trout on my YouTube channel, and absolutely, for sure, take some home and eat them. I'm friends with the hatchery director in the state. The whole goal is to get people to eat some of those. So no problem with that. And I'll let people know, too, if you catch one in horsetooth, these fish are growing 1.5 to 2 inches a month in the summertime here. So they stack on some size in a hurry. So you catch a 20-incher, you think you got this giant old fish, but the reality is he's only been in the lake for like 6 months.
Now, we only got a couple minutes left, but I want to touch on the walleyes one more time. We talked about it, and we've got Carter, Horsetooth, Boyd, Cherry Creek, Chatfield, up and down the Front Range, the Eastern Plains. These walleyes are going to become accessible in the pre-spawn. The one thing with the walleyes, though, is the trout will be a little more reliable, as you said earlier. But the walleyes, when you get cold weather coming through, you get weather changes, they can turn on and off pretty easy in the spring. But just remember, you might not get bit one evening, but you might only get it 3 or 4 times the next evening, but those could be the biggest walleyes of your life, or you might hit that day when they're on fire. Is that what you experience?
Absolutely. And what for me it comes down to is if you get around a school of males, you're going to catch a bunch of them because the males are aggressive, particularly in the evening time. You'll catch a bunch of fish in, say, 14 to 20-inch range, and they'll be extremely aggressive because they're starting to get that attitude for spawning. The females, on the other hand, will be very moody and will be staging and will eat on an opportunity, but not necessarily consistently. And you can't provoke them as well with that you can like the males. The males you can provoke with aggression. You can really pop a jerk bait really hard, then kill it. Just let it sit in one spot. You can kind of taunt them into biting. The females, on the other hand, like I said, they're just not in a great mood. They're big enough to eat almost anything that gets around them, and so they'll eat on their whim. It's almost all the big ones early in the spring that we catch are for sure caught right at dark or after dark, shortly after dark. The males, you might get around them and light them up pretty good even a couple hours before dark. But in all cases, I'm gravitating to broken rock, riprap, broken rock shorelines, as much variegation in the rock as I can get, preferably some wind on it as well, or some breeze, or an area that is known to get consistent wind, even if it's not blowing right now. Those are the places I'm going to gravitate to. And for me, like I said, there's basically only two baits I throw in the spring for walleyes for, you know, March and April. And that's either going to be a jerk bait, which I'm going to work a couple of different ways, or it's going to be some sort of either a swimming grub or a boot tail. So like a 4-inch Berkley power grub or a little, you know, a power bait pro shad, something like that with a little boot tail that I can just retrieve nice and slow and even. One of those two will almost always get me some bites.
We are out of time, Chad. If people want more information or book a trip with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Fishfulthinker.com to book the trips, and we are starting to book up quickly, so I'm glad people are calling in on that. But fishfulthinker.com, and of course, the social media is at fishfulthinker across all platforms. We'd really love people to check out our YouTube channel.
All right, my friend, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks very much, Terry.
You bet. Chad LaChance. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. I'll wrap things up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.